Hello.
Hello.
Uh-oh, there's trouble.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Tara. Oh, I thought you were going to be tied up today.
Me? Me?
Yeah.
Oh no, that's I keep confusing people because I'm clearing my schedule like all the way through the end of December. So it's 2 weeks from now that I'll be away.
Oh,
I know,
I mean,
and it
it's a
just
pleasant
says
surprise.
Oh, I'm sorry, did you want me to leave? I can do that. That's fine.
Get out of here. We don't want you here. Give everyone a few minutes to roll on in. I'm also doing 10 things at once, so it gives me extra time to finish up about 9 of them. Okay, I don't see any other people joining. We're at 2 minutes past, so we can go ahead and get started quick. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Folio Implementers. So the first thing we have on our agenda is just some housekeeping. So just as a quick note, on Thursday, November 6th, the Folio Implementers will be giving their update to PC. So we'll be going over our priorities list quick. So that's going to happen on Thursday. So if you want to jump into the PC meeting as well, please feel free. Then let's see, there's the upcoming meetings idea, I think, which I'll drop into the chat here of what we will be doing for the rest of the year. So we only have actually three more meetings after this, and we actually haven't had any ideas for 2026 yet. So at some point in time, we'll be throwing that on the calendar to come up with some more ideas for 2026. So if you have anything, please let us know of topics, things you'd like to discuss for next year. And also the other one too, that the invitation is still out there. If you would like to be a co-convener with all three of us, or two of us, or another one of us, however that works out, please feel free to let us know. I swear it's actually not a horrible amount of work, and it doesn't take up a massive amount of time. And the meeting we have every other week is actually kind of relaxing because we get to talk about a bunch of different things. So, but that invitation is still out there. If anyone is interested in it, you don't have to make a commitment, but if you have a few questions, ping myself, Tara, or Darcy, or all three of us on Slack, and we'll be more than happy to let you know what's involved. But yeah, the invitation is still out there. As far as today, our main conversation today is about RFID integration and how people are doing it. And if we have time, some maybe at the end of conversation of what people would like to see more happen with more folio support. Unfortunately, I did not pick on anybody who would like to go first. Is there anyone who would volunteer, like to volunteer to go first and talk about their RFID integration? I know we have at least two libraries here that have up.
So,
You want to go first, Felix?
yeah, I actually expected to give some kind of a little presentation here to and if it's good, I'll just go on doing that.
Yeah, great.
So I
Yep,
just
that'd be great. Thank you.
share my screen,
Make sure we can share. You can, cool.
which is this. So, we in Bavaria started migrating to Folio about 1.5 years ago. So I think we have at least 4 to 5 libraries being live on Folio by now. And with that, of course, there came the requirement to also support RFID, especially our, not our universities, but our, how do you call it, like advanced colleges or something. They're really into using RFID, and for that we had to adjust this need. So the agenda I'll be presenting here is, first we'll talk a bit about what we needed, where we come from, so our legacy solution as well. We were using CSIS before this, and they already had some integration with RFID, and of course people like to stick to the stuff they're used to, so we kind of focused on or oriented our solution on that, which of course led to some requirements. And then I'll just present how we made it come alive in Folio. Sorry?
I'm sorry, Felix, to interrupt you. A few people are saying that you're a little soft. Do you mind speaking up a little or adjusting your mic? Thank you. I
Okay,
appreciate it.
maybe I can also try to fix my microphone inputs, but is it fine like it is now, or is it
It's still about the
not?
same. If you pump it up,
Okay.
don't worry.
Let me see. If I can fix. Now watch me do this. Is it better by now?
Yes, that's a lot better. Thank you. I appreciate
Perfect.
it. Sorry for interrupting. Thank
No,
you.
it's perfectly fine. I mean, after all, you're here to listen to me, so better be listening. All right. So, working with RFID, there are multiple workflows consisting of course, initializing and editing RFID tags. So, getting the barcode on, and also stuff like that. That's something we need to do, of course. And the second main part for our purposes is circulation, which kind of splits in two areas, which is self-service. We won't really talk about that because our needs to kind of integrate self-service machines are covered by the ZIP2 developments and the ZIP2 Edge module sufficiently. So that wasn't our focus here. But of course, from the counter. So, if people come to the counter, they want to borrow something, at least here in Regensburg, we still do that a lot. We don't really have that much RFID, so only just some working books and stuff like that. So, that's something for us as well. And security gates, which is a different topic, I just put it there for the sake of completeness. But yeah, so the main things we'll be looking at here is working from the counter and initializing and editing RFID tags. So a short hint on where we come from. This is the old integration. So you basically had if you looked at an item, you had like all your information, and you also had like a little RFID tag where it said you could see what's on the tag here. Can you see my cursor?
Yes.
Perfect. And also, like, if it's secured or unsecured at the moment. So, if the RFID tags would light, or the gates would light up, and you could also delete labeled data. You could read and write and all stuff like that. And in circulation, it looked kind of like this. So, you had like a stack or a stacks. I don't really know how to say it, but you could put many items on the antenna, and they were always simultaneously being circulated or checked in or checked out. So that was kind of the way we were going for. And the first thing to start there was we wanted to integrate into the Folio UI, so that made it necessary to develop a Stripes app, which is perfectly fine, but came with its own little intricacies because, of course, Stripes being run in the browser does not give us direct hardware access, so we had to navigate around that a bit. And yeah, we had the integrated manner in order to not have any too openly visible secondary applications in the background, which basically just operate macro-based or something. That's one type of solution we were thinking about, but the more integrated, the smoother kind of the workflows become, and that was our aim here. And yeah, the batch processing was a bonus for us. Any questions? Okay, so that was our initial view on things. We had Folio on the one side, and we had our hardware on the other, and how to connect the two of those. So the first thing was the app. I myself developed an app called RFID Connect, which can be shipped as part of the platform, the front-end platform. And then we have something like a little local web server, which is addressable from within the browser and connects to the RFID hardware. So we have our own development in Bavaria, provided by Johannes Güttling, who is also here today. But there is also like a similar service from Bibliotheca, which is a big RFID supplier, and also like a makeshift kind of, another basically application developed to integrate with Alma. Seeing that, we also kind of oriented or aimed for some Alma-like syntax in our interface between the app and the local service, in order to. Sorry? Okay. And without further ado, I think I want to just jump into the demonstration of the app and how it works. So here we have our test folio of ours. I already put it in English language in order to
Hey.
because that's also something we have in the RFID Connect app. I managed to have a full English localization by now, which is nice, bonus, but it's nice to have. And here you can already see, so we have a tab for circulation, which yeah, lets you. It's visually. It orients, or it tries to mimic the check-in and check-out to some extent. So you also have your Patreon barcode. I can, for example, look for my barcode here. Aha, we have a block, a Patreon block. And yeah, like the people should feel kind of familiar here. And then we have the detected media list. So, for example, I have a book here from our RFID stack, and then when I just put it on there, we have like one row for each of the media. And what you can see here is, for example, the security bit. So at the moment, both of these items are set to in-house, so to say. So they would light up the gates if anyone tries passing through it. You can also see that both items are complete at the moment. So some items might consist of two or more RFID tags. If something like that happens and they are not complete, you would get a. We can check that out a bit later. Then you have the barcode, which is also stored on the tag, and which, if I press the link, connects to the inventory or the instance set, and it lights this one up, so you can basically also see the item in the inventory and the title and call number basically of it. So what would you want to do with it? We have both options. So it's basically you have one interface for checking in and checking out, just because I don't want it to make another two apps. So if we check in, we can see in the background it sets the appropriate check-in by barcode, and yeah, seems like both of those check-ins worked, which is indicated by the circulation status here. We can have another one, and which is a new tag. And if we check that in, I prepared something for you. So we have like a little notification that there is some kind of slip wanting to be printed here. So everything that results in not just being available and not being an error basically results in such a yellowish status message. And yeah, well, that's also something that basically just pulls the template from the properties and mimics what's happening in the other two apps as well. So you could just print it from that. Exactly, it indicates also if you already pressed this once, so if you have more stuff to print or whatever, and you could keep track. Also, when I just put it away and put it back on, it remembers that I already processed this stuff as long as I don't end the session. Because when ending the session, everything in the background gets cleared and I have my fresh interface. I can also go to the checkout, because if you see, whenever I checked in, it kind of locks in to the check-in mode and I can't like press checkout anymore. I can't also select a patron anymore. So exactly. On the other side, if I blah, blah, blah. I can also check out stuff. Okay. So let's look maybe for an active user. Might be better that way. Just someone to check out those items, and you can see two of those items were checkoutable. They were lendable, loanable, which resulted in these green messages, and one of course is requested by another patron, so that leads to an error, which basically just shows the error messages from the backend. And but yeah, that seems appropriate enough for the cause. Just a little thing, those little lock symbols are interactive, Which means I can always kind of check whether I should really the chat. Sorry. Perfect. Yeah. Should. Exactly. So those are interactive. You can always see what the security status of your item is and change it if it has not happened by automatically. So normally these two items that got checked out, they already switched to unlocked and automatically because we handed them out to a patron. And otherwise, if I check them back in again and they receive positive status messages, they will be locked again. So far, so good for the circulation part. Are there any questions so far before we go to the tag editing? Yeah, Joseph.
What about check-in and check-out notes on the item records? Is that something that's supported?
So there are additional information which I'd have to check. So let's see. We can just go to one of those items and arrange. So stuff that is definitely supported is when you have like damaged number of missing pieces. Say that we have two missing pieces, CD, whatever. And if it's damaged as well. So and if you have like a n so would it be a note then?
Yeah, there is, let me see here, in a check-in note that you can
Ah,
add.
so those
Yeah, there you
check-in.
are.
Let's also add a checkout note. Let's see what happens. I'm the development of the app is basically already a year or so past, so I'm
Okay.
sorry if I can't remember everything again. So let's
Hey, look at that.
see statistical mechanics. So yeah, seems like I implemented it back here. So because of the batch processing, it was a bit of a bit hard to find a way that keeps it simple and not just pop you up with everything when multiple things have check-in notes or check-out notes. So that's the way I communicate stuff back here. This also addresses, for example, but we, yeah, that's the way. Thomas?
Perfect.
I have to admit, I really like the interface. I actually like the layout of the patron information on the on top of the check-in check-out information. To me, that makes more sense, side by side one. I'm curious, do you allow overrides in this interface? So like in your one example, you had that it already had a hold, but if it had another block or something of that nature, is it possible to do an override as well?
So override, I only implemented these patron block overrides. So there is, I think, two more overrides you could think of, which is if an item is not loanable, you have an option in the checkout app, I think, that makes it possible to override that policy or something. That one I didn't address because I thought those will be special cases and they should maybe just go via the checkout app. Something else I did not implement is proxies. I think we don't really use proxies here, and maybe that's also something that can just be covered by the checkout app. I did not want to like have everything duplicated basically. But that one, yeah, I can override in this model, just Because I say so. And yeah, I'm making a. Of course, I can't check it out to this because he's also inactive. But yeah. exactly. So
Thank
that's.
you.
Okay. That's basically circulation covered. The second part was the tag editing. So basically, if you have a fresh RFID tag or you have any other needs to write on the tag, I have prepared something here, which is you can just go to this site. You can have your tag preview. So I put one tag on here. I can refresh it. And it shows me the relevant information on the tag. We don't really use that much or that many information bits on the tag. Only just where is it from, which library is it from, the ESL, the number of parts a package consists of, and what part of the package this special tag is, and of course the barcode. And we have three modes here, with the semi-automatic mode basically being a bit of a legacy thing for us. But we can talk about that later. Full automatic basically means you have a barcode in the back if you press write tag. So for example, I can take a second tag because I think or I want to also have a CD on with a I want to secure the CD with a tag as well. So now there are two tags on my antenna, and when I press write tag, it first checks, does this barcode exist? How many tags are on my antenna at the moment? And then it deducts basically what should be written on the tags. So now I have two tags with the same barcode. I have part number 1 and 2 out of two, and both have the same ESL, which is indicated here and which is a setting in the app's settings basically. So that's the automatic way. It basically just looks how many tags are on there and assumes all those tags belong to that barcode, and yeah, does the rest automatically. Manual would be if I only put one. At the moment I only have the one. I could set these things by hand basically, if you just wanna exchange one tag because it doesn't work anymore. But I still think the comfort of the full automatic mode, you just put the stuff on there and you overwrite everything, and then it's you're set so to say. So I just take this again because there's something, oops, little mistake. So we have this again, and that's also that enables me to show. So now, for example, we have 2 out of 2, and when I take one away, we only have 1 out of 2, which leads to this warning sign, and which also disables this grayish hue of the row means it's disabled for processing at the moment. So when I press this, nothing's going to happen. There would be something happening if I put the second tag back on, or if I check the little box here. So now I can process it again in order to if something was lost or yeah, whatever. I always have the option to check it. Exactly. And I think for tag editing, I mean the delete tag is a bit of a how do you say it? It's a bit of not a dummy, but the interface I'm using which we saw in the PowerPoint here, which is this one, the one we developed in Bavaria. And also I think the others, they kind of expect a valid ESEL and some bare minimum of information, so you can only delete up to that thingy. Yeah, it's not really a delete. So if I press delete on the two tags, they still have like some information, but it's nonsensical basically. And yeah, it's just an order. I don't really know. It was something our media processing team wanted to have. So yeah, I implemented it. Yeah, I see.
Yeah, I don't do pretty much anything with RFID, so I'm just confirming. So when you're on this page, it's actually writing out to the RFID
Exactly.
database software. Okay.
Well, we can take a little look on how things work under the hood. Is that something under the in the background? So we have this RFID interface, which is working in the background all the time. So whenever I press refresh, for example, and maybe also go to the network analysis. So this interface knows three commands, and maybe I'll jump into the so this one. It knows a get items command, a set security command, and an item update command, which is read what's on there, write on what's on there, and flip the locked unlocked status. And yeah, that's basically all the magic that's there. And whenever I press one of these buttons, for example here, I send the get items command, and we can try to compile a list of tools that are supported here. And exactly when, and now I lost my, whoops. Let's take another barcode that exists. So here, for example, we can see it sends the item update command. Our interface works with JSON. That's one reason why we programmed our own interface, because the other two interfaces, they kind of so Alma uses XML, and that's what where we basically took the idea from, and it's also the first development cycle was using this XML well, interface, so to say. And yeah, popular. We're using the JSON. Exactly, and that's the get items command, the item update command, and if you want to see the last one as well, it's the set security command, which results in yeah just barcode XY being secured or unsecured. Did that address your question? Perfect.
Yes, thank you.
This for the curious and observing characters here. We also have like a little ILL tag adoption, which is a Bavarian specialty, because here I think all of Germany might be using the interlibrary loan or something. special interlibrary loans application. And so whenever you're doing interlibrary loans, you're basically in a bit of a you have a bit of a problem, because what do you do with the foreign tag? And we developed a little workflow in order to us or temporarily use the foreign tag or the foreign barcode and insert it into the temporary item created by our ILL application, which might be cool for some people or usable. It's an option, but you don't really have to use it. And so, yeah, it's for our purposes, in order to be able to work with foreign tags and have them being checked out and checked in via the self-service machines, so to say. Exactly, and that's the aim or the bigger goal behind this presentation, is to maybe find ideas or develop a plan in order to get at least some basic RFID support into Folio. I think this is a topic that's not addressed so far in any instance here. So I also thought about what first steps might be. I don't know if any programmers are here at the moment which know Stripes of some sorts, because I think a first step could be like implementing a Stripes hook, which basically implements this interface, which where you can put your the something. We can take a quick look at the settings, because the settings here, we have the RFID connection. So here I can inform Folio about the port where this application is running, and also if I'm using the JSON-based or the XML-based interface. And as a last thing, my identifying number, or the ESILF, which then propagates to the tag editing and stuff like that. But yeah, to have some RFID connection interface, some hook which can then be used in different, or can be accessed in different Folio apps and enable RFID support. I think that would be a very nice first step in the right direction to create kind of the possibility to connect to services like the one we're using here. And from then on out, people can, or different apps can be blessed with RFID capability or something like that. And yeah, I think that's the main things that I wanted to show you here today. Feel free to ask questions, and I don't know how to zit. I don't know how to. Exactly.
I'll jump in quick. My brain is going in three or four different directions. So there's like the nerdy programming side of me that's going in one direction. There's the IT security side of me that's going in another direction. There's the PO side of me going in another direction. The security side of me is just like, oh my God, running a web server on a local machine, our central IT department would have a fit. But at the same extent, the nerdy side and the PO side of me is just kind of like, that's actually a really cool idea to have a a desktop application that acts as a small web proxy so that it can be accessed via the web interface in Folio, and it would actually open up a whole bunch of different things, like what you're showing here with RFID, but also other peripheral devices, possibly even things like printers or receipt printers or things, specialty equipment of that nature, because now you're, instead of having to go through the servers and sending it back down, you could have it run on a local machine. I'm not sure if the Folio, and that's where the PO part jumps in. I'm not sure if the Folio community would want to go in the direction of a quote unquote desktop app, or even a browser extension might actually be able to handle some of this. But it is, this is definitely really, really cool. Laura, I'll let you jump in.
Maura?
Yeah, I'm just I put a question in the chat, but I think it got buried, and it was like that. We have this delete tag business, and I do a lot of like user permission provisioning, and I always say that the three things you have to guard against when you're provisioning things is malice, mischief, and whoopsie, and when it comes to something like deleting a tag, for an active item, I can see why you'd need to. But also a lot of whoopsie can create, a little whoopsie can create a lot of chaos. If an RFID tag gets deleted in error. So I was wondering if, there's sort of like a thing where you're maybe there are, or maybe if it gets sort of knitted back into, knitted into the basic Folio setup, we can have like, is something like deleting a tag set aside by permissions?
Let me quickly. So I have. I have created various permissions for this app. So basically, you
Excellent.
have the all permissions one, the ones where you activate specific tabs here, so you can allow people to only see circulations, only see tag editing, or completely ignore the ILL. So, for example, I have a user here which has only a bare minimum of permissions. So, for example, when I take the delete RFID tag from him, as well as the ILL functionality, and I save those, I think I have to log back in again. So then someone. Okay, I think it did not sufficiently refresh. Because it has the all permissions as well. My bad.
Those all permissions, they can slid under the radar the next thing you know.
Yeah. Oops. And then I come on. So yeah, basically it hides the delete button from people. And also, for example, we have security stuff which is looking over our reading rooms. And if you they should not be able to see Patreon's personal so you just take the checkout items to users from them, and they don't even get, let's see if I have to log back in again. Come on. So they don't get access to the look for the Patreon part of things as well. So they can only check in, or people can return items, but they don't see anything else. So we have kind of a granular permission management, so to say.
Nice.
Darcy?
And
Thank you.
Ah, sorry.
With Eureka coming up, I'm wondering, Are there changes you're gonna have to make to the app so that it works now with the Keycloak capabilities and roles?
I have not developed under Eureka so far. In Bavaria, we are self-hosting, so I think I'll have to wait for our computational or our IT to set up an environment for that, and then I can adjust the necessary parts. But sorry, Mora,
No,
you had
no,
some.
I was just saying thank you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so. So yeah, so far no Eureka support, I think. But it's definitely something I want to address when stuff evolves.
I see a note in the chat from Charlotte about, a possible next step of doing this demo for the PC and TC. Is that right, Charlotte?
So it was, you mentioned that you would love to see these ideas adopted by the Folio developers or the Folio community. And, one way, because it's a bit of a process to have new apps being approved and adopted in the Folio platforms, but I'd say this demo is an excellent starting point, and then you can say you can get feedback, and you can think if you want to transform what you have done now as a Folio supporting tool to be a true Folio module.
Okay. So the next steps would be to basically have the PC or the TC look at that or demonstrating.
Yeah, give them a demo. And it's two different councils. The PC is a product responsible for the product, and the TC is responsible for that development is compliant with requirements for Folio development. But yeah, sometimes people bring to the councils either they have already done an app, and that's kind of a difficult situation, because if everything is kind of done, it's difficult to have any, input say on things without too much noise. So, but I think these ideas and the reaction you have got here, it resonates, and it is something Folio is not really handling at this point. So definitely an area there should be much more attention around.
Yeah, the it's definitely something I would be interested in, like giving it a broader audience and maybe even finding a way to bring RFID to Folio, maybe even in a way that's kind of in the same general direction as Alma, because if you have like you I think it's a good idea to have a similar kind of not ecosystem around RFID, so stuff that's developed for Alma can be used in Folio and vice versa. So that would be nice, and and also the TC would be very helpful in advising, discussing ideas from a local web server. Yeah, I mean, that's something that was going through my mind as well, like the security part of things. I mean, we're exposing a very limited set of endpoints here, but on the same at the same time, I have no idea what can be done with an web server here, and what kind of mischief you can have there. It's a bit. I'm not creative enough for that stuff, I think.
It really depends on some of the institutions too. Like, for instance, Cornell has a mandate that we're not allowed to have any web servers installed on any machines at all. I think because of the port that you're using, it might be safe because it could be blocked to no external access. But it kind of falls back on a lot of individual institutions, what their central IT department would say. I mean, and then you also have the different platforms, like is it a Mac, is it a PC, is it Windows 10, Windows 11, XP? But you could probably easily get around that with a Docker container running like a Python script that allows for connectivity. Sorry, dev brain going. Medica is fine, it's really cool. The other one too is that Susan's here as well from RA SIG, and I think there's a few other ones. I think some even people in RA SIG would be really interested in seeing this as well. As I said, like the whole check-in, check-out interface is actually something I was kind of thinking of a way of handling some RFID reading things. So I'm glad to see like it actually is a practical implementation. But I just like the layout of the interface a lot better that you set up here than the one that we currently have in Folio. I'd be interested to see what other RA people think as well.
Yeah, thanks. It was my aim to kind of present a lot of information, but in a way that's kind of digestible on first sight, so to say. So happy to hear that people like it. Oops, let's have the whole one again. And yeah, also maybe something we can know. So yeah, back in this additional information part, there's also if you have the in the settings, you can think of having another. So now basically all the tags I have are counted as foreign because I'm disguising myself as a different library now. So which means they also get an easy mismatch here. So in order not to, if you have a book and one of the solutions for interlibrary loans is also to put a foreign or a temporary tag inside of a book. So that would be something if I so now I created these temporary tags and I just go back to my old library and so say I have the book from my library now and the foreign tags. So now that's not what I wanted. That's also not what I wanted. What's happening? Interesting. I think we just might have found a bug. Okay. Normally, I think that one of the things should provide an easy mismatch now, and the other one should not. Because they have the same barcode. We actually found a bug now. So, like this. Now that we have the foreign. Perfect. It had to happen at some point. But now we have one with the easy mismatch, which is automatically marked for not marked for processing, and the other one which is marked for processing. So yeah, that's something on the side note, basically. All right. Any more? Oh yeah, basically I'm finished with my part here. I don't know if we just wanna discuss RFID in general or further steps or.
Actually, in about 7 minutes until we wrap up. So I just wanted to see if anyone had any more questions or if there's anything anyone else wanted to add. If not, we can use the next 5 minutes for just discussing RFID in general. Yes, Chuck.
I had a question about the local web server that needs to run on the client. And I'm wondering if you have a link to those resources. I'm looking at the README for the application itself, and I see a note that a link to the project will follow in the future. And I wondered if that was somewhere.
Yeah, we have so here in the Bavaria Library Network we have a GitLab or which features our open developments, which for once has the app itself here, and which yeah, there you have it, and the connector. Exactly, and that's the. I think there's also an English README. So that's the documentation and the files basically for the local web server we're using. There should be, correct me if I'm wrong, a compiled version of this as well.
On the
But
right
yeah.
side, under releases.
The releases. Exactly. So here you have the Windows version basically for it, because it uses .NET and ASP Core and stuff like that. Exactly, but yeah. The other two tools that I mentioned, so that of course is from Bibliotheca, Staff Connect Link. So it's kind of an official or manufacturer product, which basically does the same thing. It uses the XML interface. I haven't used it so far, but it's supposed to work with Alma, and just like this one, which is from a system librarian, I think in Düsseldorf, somewhere in northern Germany.
I think he works in Cologne right now.
Okay. Yeah, and but yeah, you have our public repository for the app and the connector as well. Is that what you were looking for?
Yes, thank you.
Perfect. Charlotte.
Yes, so I wonder, have you been thinking about also having a data property in the item record where you could indicate that there was an RFID tag, supporting that given item? Because I guess maybe in your collection,
Ah.
2/3 of your items have. Is have been RFID tagged, and maybe some is not. And right now we don't have a data property where we can link that information.
So we don't have any properties, so I think you let's see what so going to the inventory and to an item data structure. I mean, of course, we could have some sort of note, or just an item note, which indicates, for example, has an RFID tag or something like that. We did not do that so far. So for us, it was sufficient to just have them. Also, something I currently ignore is the number of pieces here. So basically, you could also think of connecting the number of pieces with, for example, if you have a book and two CDs and a map or whatever. But to me, it always felt a bit unreliable because Bamberg, for example, uses only one tag per item. No matter how many pieces there are, we in Regensburg use multiple tags So that was something you could not consistently deduce from the item data set or the item itself. So we're just using the different number for the items basically, or for the number
Okay.
of
Okay.
items. Ah yeah, but
Thanks.
same for the allowing multiple barcodes would be something we're very interested in, because that would basically also solve the interlibrary loans part of things. So you could just have the foreign barcode from the other library and the temporary number we're currently using for our interlibrary loans, which is via a server, the ZFL, the central Zentrale Fernleih Server, some German word probably this long. And having an identity between those two, or these two barcodes leading to the same item in check-in and check-out operations, would be amazing. That would basically nullify the purpose of the interlibrary tag adoption. We were kind of trying to circumnavigate exactly that requirement.
It was something that was a lot in Voyager, so I'll freely admit, and we're at time, so I just want to say thank you. And if anyone needs to drop off, please feel free. I was just going to say, our previous system, Voyager, did allow us to have multiple barcodes on an item. We tried to adopt RFID at one point in time. We did it for one of our small libraries. We have around, I think it's a few million items, so retagging everything is a major undertaking. But we were able to store both the RFID tag, which was a different number, and the barcode within Voyager. So either one of them would link to that one item. Tech services also sometimes used it when they were getting items in, they would assign a temporary barcode, and when a real item was there, they would attach the real barcode, or if something got relabeled or something of that nature. But I think that there's a lot of really good ideas here. And I would like to thank you again for coming. And that actually kind of wraps up our meeting for today. Unless there's anyone else has any questions. Felix, are you in Slack, on NFolio Slack?
Exactly, yeah. You just find me, like Felix Wichmann is the name, and basically Slack is the best option to reach me, or maybe via the email. I can also provide the little presentation I showed you. I have some screenshots from the app as well, and we have a little part on the RFID Folio connector as well, with our contacts being listed there as well. So I'm not sure how to give that presentation to you, or where to host it.
If you want to send it to myself, Darcy, and Tara in a private Slack message, including any links that you like posted, we can actually add them to today's notes, which also have a link to the recording for this session. So that way everything is in one place, and people can go back and reference it. I'm sure that it will be referenced quite a bit in the next few months. So.
Oh, nice. Perfect. Yeah, so that's like.
Thank you again, and I hope everybody has a wonderful afternoon or morning, depending on your time zone.
Evening.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for being able to be here. And chat.
Oh, anytime.
Bye.